The Skywalkers were about two-thirds of the way to the membrane, far enough so they would not see the hatches swinging open behind them when Chaul gave his command.
Now!
Vestara opened her hatch and sent the two special grenades she had selected sailing upward toward the Skywalkers. As she started to pull the hatch shut to protect herself, she saw Ba'ad Walasari's grenades reverse course and go flying back into his hiding place. Time seemed to slow. In the next nanosecond, she caught Ari looking in her direction. Her own grenades reversed course and came sailing into her corridor with her. And the last thing she saw, just before her hatch closed, was Ari tossing his grenades up toward the Skywalkers. Vestara dropped to her haunches, her stomach sinking and going hollow as she watched the special grenades, the ones with no detonators, bounce harmlessly down the corridor. Foreseeing that Chaul would attempt to kill Vestara and Ba'ad with their own grenades, Lady Rhea had provided them each with a harmless pair to throw first. Now, with evidence of her master's wisdom rolling down the floor behind her, Vestara found herself filled with both rage and disappointment. It wasn't Ari's betrayal that disheartened her. They were on opposite sides of a conflict, so that was to be expected, even respected. It was the stupidity she found sickening. Did he really believe Abeloth intended to accompany Chaul back to Kesh with ship and the Skywalkers as prizes? Or was he just so much of a coward that he would rather die on Abeloth's planet than betray his master and strike a deal with Lady Rhea? The thin bang of a pair of stun grenades sounded from the chamber outside, and Vestara knew the time had come to put Ari out of his weakness. She pulled two more grenades from her equipment harness, both frag models, both fully lethal. Then she went back to the hatch and pushed it open a crack. There was only one Skywalker in sight, floating overhead up near the strange membrane. For a moment, Vestara thought Chaul and Ari had muddled not only their double cross, but the ambush itself. Steeling herself to report the escape of one Skywalker, she removed the safety locks on the two fragmentation grenades and waited as Chaul and Ari emerged from their hiding places, already opening the shock shackles with which they intended to restrain their captive. But instead of going toward the prisoner-to-be together, Chaul broke off and started in Vistara's direction. She began to fear that he had sensed her survival. Then she noticed that his gaze was fixed on the wall just above her hatch. The stun grenades had sent one of the Skywalkers drifting toward her, she realized. Deciding that she had earned the right to a little selfish indulgence, Vestara used the Force to pull the Shakar from her equipment belt. Valued on Kesh as an art piece as much as a weapon, the thin glass dagger was designed to break off inside the target's body, killing him with as much anguish as possible. She sent it flying straight into Chaul's abdomen. The attack took Chaul completely by surprise, the blade sinking a full 10 centimeters into his solar plexus before it reached the hilt guards and stopped. Again, using the Force, she snapped off the handle, leaving the glass blade buried inside his body. Had Chaul shown his apprentice the courtesy of dying in silence, Vestara might have been able to save her friend Ari. But the master bellowed his surprise and anguish like the coward he was, and that drew Ari's attention away from the unconscious Skywalker he was preparing to restrain. In the next second, a lightsaber sizzled to life, and Ari came apart along the length of his spine. Vestara suffered only a heartbeat of surprise before she realized that the Skywalkers had completely escaped the stun grenade attack. Even then, she was a heartbeat slower than Ba'ad Walasari, whose long arm was shooting out from behind his hatch, a pair of armed fragmentation grenades grasped in one hand. The Skywalker beside Ari was already extending his free hand in Walasari's direction. As soon as the Kashyyyk's hand opened, the grenades flew back into the corridor and vanished from sight. Half a gasp later, the hatch slammed shut on Walasari's arm, folding the limb in a direction no arm was meant to bend. It was already too late for Vestara to learn from Walasari's mistake. Though she managed to avoid releasing her grenades, a dark-gloved hand clamped down on her wrist and jerked her from her hiding place. A second hand snatched the grenades from her hand and tossed them back into the corridor behind her. Then the hatch scraped past her and closed, leaving her to stare up into an open faceplate where she found the pale blue eyes of Luke Skywalker. He quickly slid her faceplate open so he could look into her eyes, then grasped her free hand with his. "You should know," he said in Basic, "that Jedi can resist stun grenades." "Fool!" she replied in Kashyyyk. Even with both hands trapped, Vistara was far from helpless. Using the Force, she drew her parang from its sheath and brought the blade slashing upward toward Luke's face. Skywalker reacted with incredible swiftness, throwing his head back and to one side. But even a Jedi Grand Master was no match for the speed of the dark side. The blade took him across the cheek and nose, opening a deep cut that sprayed Vistara's face with hot blood that burned like acid. Skywalker released her hand. She glimpsed four large black-gloved knuckles flying through her open faceplate, and when they landed, everything went dark.